This is CliffCentral.com.
Business Masterclass on Cliff Central. It's great to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald. This is part of the three-hour leadership transformation platform. Our first hour was all about leadership. We spoke with Herman Mashaba, the DA mayoral candidate, about, SONA, as well as with Alice Mnyandu, former business report editor for 6 years, and then Louis Groenewald. But then we also engaged Herman a little bit more about his campaign trail and his leadership and what he'll change, and will Etols be fought with more aggression and all those kind of things. So that's a good podcast to get. But now we're busy with we're kicking off our business masterclass, and the first half hour is a specific conversation around vision, mission and values. Grant Robson, welcome.
Adrian, thanks. Yeah, great to be back. Thank you.
Question is, do you ever want to be back again, or are you happy that Richard is back?
Well, this is my second week now, so I'm getting good into it. I know he's back today, so I think he'll be back in the studio next week.
Yeah, it's good to have you standing. Thank you. You did a brilliant job. And then, of course, Mark Peters from USB. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You look familiar. I don't know if you just have one.
Been around a while.
It's got that face.
A little closer to the mic there. All right, gentlemen, Business Masterclass, talking about transformation. I mean, this is what we spoke of. I mean, Herman is such a strong advocate, Alice, of small business. My concern sometimes is the president calls all the business leaders together, and what does he do? It's only big business. There's no small business representation, yet we admit and realize we need job creation, which will mostly happen through small business. And this Business Masterclass, while it's in general good for you if you're a manager in business, the essence is to empower, uplift, and help small businesses succeed, and that's why we try and pull them into the studio as well. But yes, gentlemen, let's kick off. In essence, I guess, Grant, you'll lead us, but the theme today is this vision, mission, values thing. It seems like certainly big corporates, it's the language we throw around, and it just comes out, and it's on the walls, and it almost feels like it's become a bit of a fashion thing more than a reality.
Yeah.
Is that so? I mean, if I'm a big corporate, I must have a vision, I must have my mission, and I must have my values, and it's all on the walls, and it's. I'm not so sure it always gets further than that.
You know, before I ask Mark to kind of jump in there, I think if you had asked that same question to 10 different entrepreneurs or business owners, you'd probably get 10 different answers. So, Mark, maybe you can give us a bit of a bit of insight into is mission. What is vision? What are values?
So in kicking off, Adrian, I think you're 100%. I think for entrepreneurs, the vision and mission comes an awful lot later when they're much more structured, much more in existence for a longer period of time. And I think what entrepreneurs focus a lot more on is their objectives. So when we speak of entrepreneurs, we like the term VMOST, if that's not another acronym on radio, but vision, missions, objectives, strategy, and tactics. And what's more important for entrepreneurs is that they have a clear set of objectives. And often they'll come back later on and build a vision and a mission. And hopefully it's a little bit more than putting it on the wall.
In the beginning, they have it in their mind, don't they?
I think so. And I think they have in their mind, certainly my experience with South African entrepreneurs is that they have the values in mind, such as caring about customers, better customer service, hopefully. We don't do very well with that. I was listening to your previous speaker, Herman Mashaba, and that's one of the things he did incredibly well with. So that value of looking after the customer. I know I've jumped a little bit, but there's a great, Adrian, a great Japanese proverb that says, vision without action is a daydream, and action without vision is a nightmare. And so not having a vision of where you want to go. And I know Grant wants to chat about the link between these things and strategy, but that's what's important about vision and mission, is that it does define where you're going strategically. So if an entrepreneur listening to you today has got a good vision about what they would like their business to be in a few years, the chances of success are much higher because they've probably thought about the strategy piece as well. We talk about a lot of entrepreneurs in the South African environment confusing motion with progress, that they're running around, not really sure, chasing the next big deal. And the reality is that they're struggling to think about the direction of the business. And the vision and mission helps them with that.
Yeah, I think last week we were talking about, working on versus in the business. This is a critical element in that. It's part of your company strategy, working on your business, getting this right. Let's talk a bit more about the individual elements here.
Just before you go there, you touched the point now, Grant. So in other words, linking up with last week, I would think if you're an entrepreneur, started your little business a few years later or a few months later, whatever, you do have a vision, clear vision and a clear purpose and values. I would think that you then have made time to work on your business.
Yeah,
the reason you take a few years to get to that point is probably because you're so busy in the business, mm-hmm. just operationally putting systems and processes in and selling and trying to close a few deals just to keep the food on the table. So that's a good point. Maybe one of the signs that you've been working on your business is whether you have those, and it's clearly stated and it's out there. So a good point there, Grant. Okay, are we going to unpack it?
A quick response, Adrian, just to say to you that I think in an ideal world, your statement is correct, that people have time to think about it. My own experience is that entrepreneurs really struggle to carve time out in their business because for exactly the same reasons that you speak about, they really struggle to say, I'm going to spend these 3 or 4 hours thinking about where my business should be. And actually what they're doing is in sending out the next invoice, delivering on the next product. So it would be great if they thought more about that.
Look, I guess I'm a test case here because, you know, I'm setting up my business as we speak. But, you know, I'll attest to the fact that, you know, I've hardly thought about mission, you know. Vision, I think it's somewhere there because, again, I've got objectives. But, you know, in my view, I just feel that, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's about how these things get articulated over time, especially, you know, parallel to what is happening in your business. Is that true?
Yeah, I think I would buy that. And I think the question, Adrian, and that you and Grant asked earlier on deals with this. So what is the difference between vision and mission? I think for many, including corporate South Africa, we mix the two. The two, you know, you've got a vision and mission, people know very little about it. I wanted to give a couple of examples on your show today, if I may, Adrian, in terms of, a question for the panel here this morning. Who said being Africa's preferred ICT service provider is their vision?
That sounds familiar, I must
say. It does,
say.
Yes, it should do. It's Telkom. Now, what was interesting is they didn't say anything about telecommunications. They said they wanted to be ICT provider. So another one, just to give you an example, this was a tough one.
Okay, when did that vision come out, and have they achieved it?
I think you've while you're laughing, I think you've answered the question directly.
I think if you look at the acquisition they've made of Business Connections, I think fits with that vision because they're in ICT space.
They are now. So the answer to your question is 100%. It wrote that in 2002, so it is quite a while ago, but that's quite nice. It's a good example. So 13, 14 years ago, they came up with that.
Well, it illustrates there's much more than just having your vision because they've got lots of interference and, you know, it's a sort of a, yeah, there's lots of issues around why they may not achieve their vision. Okay.
Here was one that I enjoyed, Adrian, and see if you, to become Southern Africa's most highly rated and respected organization. Who said that? And this was under a previous CEO. So that's Nedbank. So Nedbank have said, so vision, and that's quite hard to measure, respected and highly rated. How do you measure that? And that was the point I wanted to make about vision, is that vision is about the challenge that you face. It's about being future orientated, looking to the future. It should be brief and it should be clear. So the example we spoke about just a moment ago, it should be clear and it should be understandable to all. So it is, Grant and I were speaking outside before we came on your show, Adrian, and we were saying that it needs to be something that all your colleagues, your staff, your suppliers, your customers should buy. And I think the one that's really cool is everything keeps going right.
Yeah, that one, everyone knows that.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's not inside, it's on top, but that was more a marketing slogan.
Well, until it didn't, because we know what happened in the US with some of their cars.
Recalls and so on.
Recalls, yeah.
Should a vision be emotive as well? So you mentioned a few tick box points there. Yeah. Should it speak to the emotion or not? Because most visions don't seem to for me.
No, I think that's more, Adrian, and this is where the confusion comes and the merging mission often talks more about the emotion.
So what is the vision is just simply where we want to go.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure that those vision examples, I guess, yeah, they could speak about where you want to end up, not as measurable necessarily as an objective.
Correct. They aren't measurable as an objective. You should, in theory, arrive at them at some point. You know, so in your, these examples I know I gave were corporate, but for entrepreneurs listening, I think the key issue is that you need to be thinking about where you would like to be in a few years' time.
Mark, I have a question for you. Of course, so you have your vision, your mission, and your values articulated. Can the public or, you know, whoever you're servicing, can they hold you responsible for not keeping to any of these things? And if so, how?
I think the answer is yes, they can hold you responsible. And the example of the how, so let me give you an example. Safety, for example. You claim to be an organization that sells products that are safe for your consumers, and they're not. You will all remember the Pick and Pay debacle a few years ago where some of the tinned food was poisoned. Mm-hmm. And the CEO came on radio, and every day Sean Summers was on beating the drum very successfully to say, this is not what we're about, either our vision and values. So it's about giving a sense of meaning to all that are listening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's quite nice about it. So your customers can hold you accountable because they don't believe you any longer.
So putting these together, do you need lawyers then? That's the question. Who helps you craft okay. this?
And I suppose, you know, going on from there, who's actually responsible for this?
And I think by you asking those questions, guys, the reality is that the CEO should be setting that with a senior management. But it's critical that everybody in the organization. So let's say you're an entrepreneur with five people out there and you want to be the organization with the best customer service in your building industry, and you're not. Your customers will hold you accountable because they won't be repeat business. They won't come back to you. South Africans, in our environment, we complain with our feet. We don't say anything, but we're not going back. We don't go back to our restaurant we had a bad meal from. We won't go back to a shop. We won't go back to an entrepreneur in our business if they don't look after us.
Other cultures actually call the manager out. We do have that in South Africa, more assertive, I think, but
Becoming more so, Adrian,
We tend to vote with our feet a little bit more.
In fact, I think with social media now, that's a different story, because I saw something this week, last week, that said, forget calling the help desk, just tweet, and you'll get a response.
On a world competitiveness survey recently, I heard Herman talking about all the statistics earlier on your show, Adrian, but the reality is we still came 47th out of 48 countries on customer service. I did think personally after the World Cup in 2010 we had improved a lot, but the reality is we're still struggling. And in Sunday paper you may have seen that Edgar's is cutting a whole load of staff, and one of the things that they never mentioned was customer service, and they're really poor at doing that.
Okay, so have you defined mission yet?
Okay. No.
So vision, are we all clear on vision? I know that sometimes I think it doesn't really matter, but maybe it does.
Mark said it should be future-oriented, brief, clear.
Well, that's the vision, So the mission.
Okay, so the mission should describe the fundamental objectives of the business. So this is what we want to achieve, how we're going to achieve it. So vision overriding direction of the business. The mission is a little bit more fundamental to the objectives of the business. What is their operating philosophy? And again, Grant and I chatted about the issues of possibly mission talks about your competitive advantage. What makes you good? What are you better than the competition on? And what customers do we serve and why do we serve them? So they would be some of the differences.
So it won't be all of the above.
Of that. And I think that's a challenge, Adrian, for organizations is what goes in there. The question we were asked earlier on is who develops it? So it's usually senior management or the owner of the business will develop it. And the question is how well is it cascaded down the organization?
Is mission about the essence of what our business is about?
Yes.
On a day-to-day basis, in a way.
Yeah.
This is our purpose for waking up and working day-to-day. This is what we're trying to achieve on a day-to-day basis, business basis. Is that also... Yeah.
For me, the best vision statement of all time was, we try harder.
Oh, that was a vision.
Vision. We try harder.
Correct. Avis.
So Avis, exactly. So you knew instantly who it was. Inspired, motivated, and involved, although they did change that later on. That was also quite nice vision. That was Standard Bank.
Standard Bank, yeah.
And they changed that to moving forward. But so those things. So I see where you were going, Audrey, and just to go back. So vision, overriding direction, where we're going should be quite brief. Your mission statement could be a lot longer and articulate the competitive advantage.
Are you saying the vision? What's that first one? Avis, is that a vision statement?
We try harder.
It's not their vision, but it's a vision statement.
It's a vision statement, yeah.
But
because that doesn't tell where you're going to end up. It doesn't give you a direction. It's just, that to me is like every day we're going to try harder. That to me is more like a daily mission statement.
Possibly.
We try harder every single day. It's not, we want to get to a point where we try harder, which is visionary. Does it make sense?
It does, Audrey, and yeah, you are making my life difficult here because it is quite difficult. Audrey, but could you imagine the staff at the various airports around the country with Avis saying, we try harder?
Yeah.
And it was a purpose for them to get out of bed and say, correct, we'll be better than the others.
That's why I'm saying it's a great mission sort of statement.
I loved it.
And it probably touches on vision as well, but we try harder. What?
In fact, that might be
the vision.
In fact, I think what this also makes me think is that, you know, Avis at that point would have seen itself as an enabling organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say we try harder, it could sound as vague, but it allows each individual to try however way possible they see fit to serve the customer.
Yeah. Have you seen the latest, sorry to interrupt you, the latest macro? I had a meeting with the CEO the other day. I've known him for a while. I think they're saying big on. They say
I heard it on radio.
Yeah, their mission is big.
Big is
who
good.
They are is big. And now they're saying their overriding, I think, mission is big on life. So they say you're big on food, you're big on sporting equipment, big on, and you walk through macro and everything is big. And they've realized that is their differentiating purpose, I guess, is we're big at everything. And what's the benefit to you if we're big? And
probably
we bring that benefit to you, pricing, for example, and range and many other things. So they seem to have a really good thing going there, which I like.
Mark. Yeah. So I haven't done homework for a long time, but I did a bit of homework on the weekend, and we spoke about this before I came in. I went and had a look at Coca-Cola. Now that's a brand that we all know, and I went and had a look at what their mission, vision, and values are. So just bear with me for a couple of minutes. Let me just read these out, and maybe you can make a couple of comments after each one. So under mission, they've got there, our roadmap starts with our mission, which is enduring. It declares our purpose as a company and serves as the standard against which we weigh our actions and decisions. Our mission is to refresh the world. Number two, to inspire moments of optimism and happiness, and number three, to create value and make a difference.
So that's their mission.
That's their mission. That's the mission that they've got on their website. When it comes to vision, they state our vision serves as the framework for our roadmap and guides every aspect of our business by describing what we need to accomplish in order to continue achieving sustainable quality growth. And they go on to list six items here. Number one, people. Be a great place to work where people are inspired to be the best they can be. Number two, portfolio. Bring to the world a portfolio of quality brands. Number three, partners. Nurture a winning network of customers and suppliers. Number four, planet. Be a responsible citizen that makes a difference by helping to build and support sustainable communities. Number five, profit. Maximize long-term return to shareholders while being mindful of overall responsibilities. And sixth, productivity. Be a highly effective, lean, and fast-moving organization. And then their values are, as stated, our values serve as a compass for our actions and describe how we behave in the world. And they've got 7 points under that, which are number one, leadership, two, collaboration, three, integrity, four, accountability, five, passion, six, diversity, and seven, quality. And I thought it was quite a nice way to break down the way they see their mission, vision, and values.
Yeah, Grant, thanks. And they've what I like about what you've read out is that they've defined what they mean by that. And maybe two quick comments. is that they put, it looks like they put their mission before their vision.
Yes.
Normally it's the other way around. Mm. Certainly in the South African context.
Yeah.
What I enjoyed about you, and we haven't chatted about values yet, Adrian, but what I liked about the list that Grant read out was that there are six values that are the most commonly used in South Africa. Somebody's done research on this.
Mm.
A winning company, respected, caring, enhance people's lives, which is also in Coca-Cola, customer service, and an ethical business. They're the most common values for South African businesses. Obviously, Coca-Cola is not only a global brand, but I think is rated the number one brand in the world. So that was quite a nice list. And so entrepreneurs listening, Grant, could go on the website and pick that up if they wanted to build this for themselves, to build their own vision and mission and values.
Is the Coca-Cola one not a bit complex?
I thought it was quite summarized. I don't think it was too complex.
Okay.
I think it sounded very complex to me. I mean, obviously they invested, they had lawyers look into this and everything. You know, while Grant was reading that, I was looking at what Steve Jobs, you know, own mission statement was.
For him personally,
as well as the company initially.
Yeah.
They've since moved on from this, but this is what he said at some point: to make a contribution to the world by making tools for the mind that advance humankind.
Tools for the mind that advanced humankind. It just sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. It rolls off the tongue anyway. Yeah.
But isn't that what Apple is achieving today?
Mm.
So the DNA from that first premise still permeates through the organization. Yeah. So the enduring nature, I would say, of a vision is quite, of a mission is quite critical.
I guess you know, the point is that, and it's a valid point. Don't make it too long winded. Don't lose your audience. As I was reading that out now, I was looking around the studio and I saw all four of you falling asleep.
Yeah. Did you see
that? So, and I saw that.
Exactly.
So, you know, maybe you've got a valid point. Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit too long-winded. But Mark, I mean, if I'm an entrepreneur out there listening to the show right now, where to from here? I don't have these three elements. How do I go about it?
Okay, excellent. So the short answer is the question is whether you feel you need them. Adrian, you raised it earlier on. So we're saying as a panel, we think it's a good idea. It defines where your business is going. And I think what would be useful for the entrepreneurs listening this afternoon would be to say to you, have a crack at writing what you think your vision and mission is. I think the values will come a lot easier, to be honest.
Mm.
And it's not cast in stone. It's not up on the wall in your business. You can change it, but it's something that you're moving towards and will define the strategy of your business. We are arguing as a team here that we do think it's worth thinking about. As an entrepreneur, we're thinking about what differentiates you from your competition. Because, Adrian, in listening to your other shows in the series, one of the things that's clear is that entrepreneurs need to avoid being copycat businesses. There's a lot of that. We see somebody doing well and we copy them and we've got no differentiator. What makes us different? And I think your vision and mission statement help you be different from the competition, help you be different from the other businesses. Whether you're selling flowers, whether you're in construction, whether you're in car wash, whether you're in consulting like we are, the reality is you have to have some differentiators. Otherwise, why will people buy from you? And I think your vision and mission help you with that. They clearly define where you're going, and the mission statement clearly defines what it is that you want to do, how you're going to do it, and who you're going to serve. I always remember a previous lecturer of mine saying to me, there are only a couple of questions as an entrepreneur. What is it you're selling? To whom? And the most important question, why will they buy from you? And I think your vision and mission help with that.
So can I just ask this question, Mark? Obviously, it would seem to me that the values aspect of this discussion, that often would stay perpetuity based on the fact that you're talking about, you know, ethics and so on. But vision and mission, should we also talk about perhaps, you know, those two being dependent on the environment in which you operate? So how dynamic should mission and value be? Well, I'm asking that because, you know, I was looking at GE, for example. It's a huge conglomerate, an industrial.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, at one point they had this slogan, "We bring good things to life," you know, which resonated in terms of, you know, repositioning the company for the sort of new age, you know, sphere that they find themselves in. So how dynamic should vision and mission statements be?
Okay, so vision statement is fairly dynamic depending on what's happening in the marketplace, and it should be something that you aspire to and that you achieve at some point in the career of your business or life of your business. The mission statement, though, does tend to be a little bit more concrete. And I always remember a famous South African entrepreneur, Mark Lamberti, saying, your mission statement should be robust enough to carry you through all cycles of the business. He felt that that was what your essence, your raison d'etre in your business, and it should pretty much stay the same. You might change some of the words in it, Grant, as we go along in your business, because your business has changed, but that would normally stay the same, but your vision would be achieved at some point. I think your values shouldn't be traded off. I think they're the values of your, assuming they're the right values.
That's a great quote by Lamberti. Can you repeat that?
he said that your mission statement should be robust enough to carry you through the various changes in the economy.
Okay.
And he was specifically gave that in an environment around 2008, 2009, when South African business was in real trouble because of the global downturn in the economy.
What he was saying is you must understand the essence of your business.
Yes.
What are you offering out there, and what do you do on a day? Yeah. And the impression I had when I sat with Doug Jones from Macro just last week, and I've known him for years, he's never stopped since he's been the CEO 3 years ago. He's never stopped with his team trying to really dig even as deep as you can to what is our essence, and even a bit deeper and a bit deeper, because I think we sometimes think we've got it. So I agree, the mission, if you've got that essence, then that probably stays, because that's the business you're in. You can then change it and move from doing this to something else eventually. Vision, it's got to change. And these days, you know, the environment is so dynamic that you have to continually revisit your vision.
Absolutely.
Grant, final comments, thoughts?
Yeah, I think my last comment would be, you know, it's all good and well for your the CEO of the business to come up with the mission, vision, etc. But you still need serious buy-in from the people that work for you, your partners, your business partners. That's almost as critical as actually coming up with the right kind of vision. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, Grant. Yeah, and I think linked to both your comments, yours and Adrian's, this is the domain of leadership. So I love the discussion you had, Adrian, with Doug, that you mentioned from Massmart. It is the role of the CEO to continually redefine that and ask those questions. What you don't want to be the CEO of your own business, for example, a entrepreneur, and you're so deeply entrenched in the operational issues in the business that you never think about where you're going, and that's being on the you know, the rat on the wheel, just turning it out every day. I think for you to grow your business, and Herman Mashaba, your previous guest, is a classic example. He left that very early on, and he looked at how he grew his business the whole time, and he did. He was hugely successful as a black entrepreneur because he spent time thinking about these issues.
How do you arrive at your values? You pull your team together, and there are facilitators out there, and then you decide what your values are. You brainstorm them. I know there's real professional workshops to help one.
Yeah.
Because that's important. Whether you have a perfect set of values on the wall or not, you are actually living something.
You should be.
There's some values that you hold true. And I speak of two value sets. I think my dad taught me this, is you've got values are standards of behavior in the business.
Yeah.
But then you also have standards of performance.
Yeah.
Think of this. And sometimes we only put standards of behavior on the wall as values, not standards of performance, and then they clash or they compete with one another. So our standard of behavior is integrity. We move into Africa, we also have a standard of performance, and now we have to decide to what extent are we going to be honest in our dealings up north.
Absolutely.
So we must make sure those two sets of values arrive or appear on the same list.
Yeah, and you live them. No point in having them on the list, Adrian, if you don't if you're not going to live them every day. And the example you've given is not just up north and in the rest of Africa. It's everywhere. Is that, I mean, just saying to your client, for instance, I'll get back to you today, and you don't do it, that's the performance, but it's also behavior. You know, people don't return their calls. I've left 14 messages for you, and you've never returned my call. Is that how you want to run your business? Are you saying, I will get back to you before the close of business today?
Okay, vision, mission, and values. In essence, gentlemen, we need it. Alice, you're going to work on a vision and a mission statement?
I think I've got those as we speak. Yeah, this is invaluable insights from Mark. Appreciate it. Look, I think these are very important, but obviously the overriding, what I would say governs how, you know, you come up with your mission and your values, and to a large degree, you know, your vision, is the context in which you operate. I mean, I was thinking more particularly about South Africa, you know, that in fact, with what everyone talks about, corruption and that sort of thing, you know, we should have a more robust debate around values that businesses ascribe to. But, you know, it's often the case that business has often chosen to be complacent and therefore not be upfront about taking issues head on so they don't lose, you know, the government contract that they're waiting for, you know. So you're seeing, you know, that dynamic emerge. And I think in time, business has to be very articulate about, you know, what it values, it considers to be values that are non-negotiable, even at the more broad level.
Yeah. Mark Peters, thank you, but you're staying on with us. And Grant Robson, thank you again.
Thanks, Roger. Thank you.
Alice, next up, we're going to have an interview or do an interview with an SME whose voice you may know, you know, Adam Rabinowitz. He's been on the show, but representing USB pretty much as an expert, but he's got an interesting business which I'd like him to explain to me in a few minutes. I'm really interested in understanding it, and of course Grant will be asking him a couple of standard questions that will hopefully inspire you as an SME. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com